Hi, I'm Monty Sharp, and I'd like to welcome you to the Gatekeepers Initiative. What in the world is a gatekeeper, you may ask? I'm so glad you ask. The world's gatekeepers proclaim that they're protecting their community, but in reality, they're elevating themselves by denying others entrance to their community by belittling and devaluing them. God's gatekeepers protect their communities through loving devotion to those around them. They're there to encourage that which is good and reject that which brings harm. So let's take a deeper dive today in how God is calling you to be a gatekeeper. Lord, thank you that we get this opportunity to be with all these good folks and be able to cover the topic that we're covering today. And as such, you're probably wondering what it is that we're covering today. Well, we're going to talk about how to overcome and conquer division, how to live in harmony. And I know that you know that this is a topic that is so needful today. With all the ad hominem, all the attacks, the cancel culture, everything that's out there, and it spills over beyond the broad brush of all of that into individual lives and our individual relationships with people. And so many things that easily put us fighting with each other and being divided in heart and mind and in purpose and in calling. And so we're going to talk about what the Lord says about that and give some really practical ways at the end. Something unique, I think, that you're going to find very unique on being able to make you more than a conqueror in this area. And we need you to be so. The world needs you making that difference in the world around you. So are you ready for this? Good. Well, let's take that deeper dive then. We're going to start off with Colossians 3:14, where it says, "And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." The single greatest tactic of any great general that he uses to defeat his enemy is always to divide and conquer. We see it in all the different military colleges. That's the thing that is really the most important thing. Divide your enemy. It's easier to conquer them. Anytime an army, a unit, a church, a community, a country, a family, an individual is divided, they are diminished in their strength and their power and their potential. Matthew 12:25 says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no city or house divided against itself will stand." So it's very clear. I think we've all experienced that in one form or fashion with some kind of relationship in our lives. And it's not an easy thing. It's always painful along the way. The enemy of man's soul, the devil, is very aware of this. And he's been victorious in visiting it upon most of the components of our country and our world today. In politics, in media, in social media, and families and friends and churches, etc., we are not living in harmony, but we're growing in division. So how do we change this? Well, to change a world, we must first change the hearts of the people in the world. And usually that's one heart at a time. And the best place to start there is with our own hearts. That's a best starting place always. And only Jesus can truly do this. And he chooses to do this, though, through his followers frequently. That means you and I. So having said this, we're obviously not doing a very good job of it today in our culture. When we look around, too often we are, as Christians, are hiding out or we're hindering harmony in some form or fashion. We become part of the problem. And the Lord wants to change that in our lives. Remember, above all these things, put on what? Love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Let's take a minute to define harmony. Some of you may go, okay, well, what is harmony? Webster's defines harmony as a combining of parts in an orderly fashion or an orderly whole, such as citizens living in harmony. A perfect example of this, and for those of you that happen to be musically inclined, would be an orchestra or a band. Different members sing different notes, but they're in the same chord, or individual instruments playing different notes, but in the same chord. So what makes the music beautiful is the individual parts, which are different, that come together in one accord. Pretty cool, huh? And that's where Jesus wants us to be too. And the opposite of harmony is dissonance. And Webster's defines dissonance as discord, as a chord that sounds harsh and incomplete until resolved to a harmonious chord. And it goes on to describe it as a lack of harmony or disagreement. Isn't that what's going on around us so much today? Yes, we're in dissonance. That's exactly where we are because we're not in harmony. What a perfect example of what we're dealing with. Our lack of harmony has created a harshness that prevents us from completing things that matter together, things that satisfy the longings of the human heart. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 tells us, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. But woe to the one who falls and there's not another to lift him up. And it goes on to say, a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. We need to lovingly seek harmony with one another. And that's not easy. Not easy at all. It's not easy with those around us. It's not easy with even within our family. We see dissonance that goes on there on a regular basis. Harmony doesn't mean all of us having the same opinion or the same feelings on a matter. What makes us in one accord is that we bring these differences together, learn and grow from them in the love of Christ, with an earnest desire to achieve harmony together. You may be a tenor while I'm a bass. You may be a tuba while I'm a violin. I think I'd rather be the tuba. But there's no harmony achieved until we have a heart that's in accord with God's command for us to love one another the way he loves us. We see that in John 13:34-35. And regard one another as more important than ourselves. See that in Philippians 2:3. Those are God's commandments for us. All of us come from different backgrounds, with different experiences, some good, some bad, with different sources of information, different cultures, maybe different colors, different ethnicities. We have different convictions and different connections, maybe even different communities. When we can celebrate these differences by bringing them together in one accord, we achieve harmony. But only if we work harder to understand than to be understood. Catch that? Only if we work harder to understand than to be understood, to listen, to learn, instead of being so insistent and sharing our own thoughts, will we find the pathway to harmony in our differences. Every time we allow the enemy to divide us through discord, through dissonance, we are diminished individually and collectively. And you know, it breaks the Lord's heart. It's no fun seeing members of the family fighting with one another. And it's a horrible example for those in the world that would look at the family of God and say, do I want to be a part of that? If they see us bickering and fighting and backbiting, why would they want to be a part of that? All of us have probably looked around and come across a family that seemed to be in such harmony and such joy and laughter and having each other's backs and making accommodations for each other's mistakes and problems, believing the best in each other. And we go, wow, I would like to be a member of that family. I want to hang out with those people. We'll draw the world around us into the family of God if we can affect this in our own families, in our own relationships, in our churches, you know, in the organizations around us. So how do we do that? Well, we're going to take a deeper dive to understand practically how to do that in a few minutes. But let me share a few other things before we get there. Proverbs 19:8 says, he who keeps understanding will find good. He who keeps understanding will find good. The pathway to common ground to harmony is understanding. What is a good practical way to accomplish this? I believe it's the right heartfelt questions. Questions that we ask each other to understand each other. And we're not very good today at asking questions. We want to opine instead of asking others to be able to share what's going on with them. And if we would do a better job of asking questions to understand what's going on with each other, it would change everything. The Lord many years ago said, when somebody's reactions not commensurate with the action that precipitated it, there's a deeper problem. Yeah, you go, what did you say? When my reaction's not commensurate with the action that precipitated it, there's a deeper problem. What that really means is simply, when somebody overreacts, there's a deeper problem. when somebody gets so angry and frustrated and yelling and screaming and attacking, that there's something going on in their life that's beyond usually the thing that we're talking about. That's a deeper problem going on. And we'll never achieve harmony if we don't discover what that is and what's going on. And so we need to ask questions that will help open those things up to our understanding and then our ability to connect with each other. Now, as a long time ago, somebody said, I don't care what you know until I know that you care. I don't know who said that, but it was a brilliant piece of work. I don't care what you know until I know that you care. And so asking questions, heartfelt, out of love, to try to understand each other can change everything. Will we prayerfully consider our own dogmatic opinions that we're holding so dearly and closely to our hearts and be willing to work through them, following the same questions that we want other people to answer by asking ourselves, why do we feel the way we feel and believe the way that we believe? And we suggest that those questions need to start with Jesus, looking into his word to understand his will, his way, his heart for each of us, as well as for those around us. That means spending time in the Word like we never had before. Asking these questions maybe to our pastors, our Christian brothers or sisters, Christian leaders, maybe to our parents if we're a student, and other Christians that you respect around you, people that could look at you and say, my brother, let me share with you. You need to get the log out of your own eye before you deal with the splinter in somebody else's. Jesus should always be the starting point to achieve harmony in our hearts and within the hearts of others. Then we can speak the truth in love, but that truth will usually not be received unless people know that we care. And we demonstrate this by looking to understand the different viewpoints of others, by understanding where they come from, and really working hard to make that our priority instead of opining and making sure they understand where we're coming from first. But we must remember that it is the truth that sets us free. John 8:31-32, if you'll abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free to experience true harmony, that is, if we speak that truth in love, as it talks about Ephesians 4:15. Zechariah 8:16 tells us, these are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth and judgment for peace in your gates. Another way of phrasing that would be for harmony in your gates. So how about it, my brothers and sisters? Are you willing to take a harder look at ways to be able to bring about harmony, the questions that we need to be asking each other, and the questions that we need to even in self-examination ask ourselves? The psalmist said it, examine my heart, O Lord, and see if there's any hurtful ways, and lead me in the way everlasting. Well, let's start with, before we get into those questions, something that probably is foundational in this, and that is, does truth really matter? Wow, that's a good question, huh? I think today, everywhere you turn, people are going, well, what's true for you is not necessarily true for me, and we just need to get along by accepting each other's truth. That's not love. That is not love. Truth does matter. It matters in life, and it matters and is critical in achieving harmony. The Bible says that it really matters. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, who exchange the truth of God for a lie. Wow, that should settle it alone. If I love you and I care about you and I want to be in harmony with you, I need to recognize that the lie leads you to destruction, to declivity, that downward spiral of destruction. But the truth sets you free. And the wrath of God is revealed. That's eventually something we're going to face if we're not knowing and walking in the truth. Romans 2:2 says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them who commit such things. If I don't know the truth that certain behaviors and certain things that I'm doing in my life can lead to destruction, then I'm going to be prone to find that destruction. And if you love me, you will want to protect me from that. You want to help move me out of harm's way. But I need to be doing that in a loving way, and love needs to be my motivation for it. Proverbs 19:9 says, "He who tells a lie will perish." Wow. Actually, it says, "He who tells lies will perish." Oh my gosh, all of us go, "Oh, well, we're all going to perish because we've all done that." True. Except for the fact that God's grace and his mercy and his love saves us from that. As we give our life to Christ, he takes the penalty that was due us upon himself, and he stands in our stead so that we can be set free and be made righteous before God. That's a universal truth that people need to know. And if they don't know that, then they face the consequences of that. If I love you, I'm going to make sure that bus that's rolling down to take you out, that you know about it, and that I've shoved you out of the way because I care about you. So God's judgment and wrath falls upon those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, who change the truth of God for a lie. And they cannot escape it apart from his mercy and his grace, because the truth stands and testifies against them. And incidentally, the truth of God stands the test of time. So the truth matters. And not only that, but God wants us to speak the truth in love. God commands us in Zechariah 8:16, "These are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to one another, judge with truth and judgment, so that you can have peace in your gates." Remember, I think a paraphrase of that would be harmony. So do we have peace in our gates? Do we have harmony in our gates as gatekeepers? The Lord wants us to be able to invite the things that will bring good into our gates. And harmony is something we always want to achieve. Peace is something we always want to achieve within our gates, whether it be within our families and our relationships with other people, and especially in a relationship with Jesus. God wants us as gatekeepers to be able to be promoting harmony, not dissonance. In the world around us, that is not going on. The Lord says to have that, we must place a great importance on truth, and we must plead the cause of truth. So what is truth? Does truth change? Is it constant? Where do we find truth? Well, consider these statements. A lie dressed in truth's clothing is still a lie. What we need to find is the naked truth. It's difficult to recognize a lie if you don't have a standard, a plumb line, something true in which to line up what you're questioning and to see if it fits perfectly. Only then can we depend on it as true. The naked truth, meaning everything laid bare in its purity and its truthfulness. Pilate asked a question of Jesus, "What is truth?" when he was deciding Jesus' fate and whether to crucify him or not. Jesus had just told him in the verse before in John 18:38 that Jesus bears witness to the truth. You can confidently look at Jesus and his life and know that he is the perfect example of truth. Hebrews 13:8 says, "He is the same yesterday, today, and forever," speaking of Jesus. We can depend on a source of truth that is unchanging, solid, a truth that cannot be manipulated. Is that incredible or what? So let's start seeking Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by me." We find that truth in Jesus. We find it in his word. The word of God is also a solid source of truth. Psalm 119:160 says, "The sum of your word, O God, is truth." All of it is truth. Proverbs 30 verse 5 says, "Every word of God proves true." Every word of God. 1 John 5:6, "God's Spirit will guide you into all truth." That's a great promise. If we're really seeking to know the truth, what God says is true, the Holy Spirit is not going to lead us in a wrong direction. He will always lead us to that truth. But it begins with a heart that wants to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. So help us, God. And you know, sometimes we don't want to know the truth. And I found through the years that sometimes I go, "Lord, I don't want to change. I don't want to do the right thing. I don't want to know the truth. But help me want to." And you know, Jesus meets me there. It's crazy. He always has changed my heart to even be able to say, "Lord, I need to know the truth. Will you guide me and direct me to it? Will you show me your will and your way in these situations?" And he always does. He always does. So 1 John 5:6, God's Spirit will guide you into all truth if you ask. And again, one of my favorite verses is John 8:31 and 32. If you'll abide in my word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, my followers. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So living and dwelling and surrounding ourselves with Jesus and God's word will cause us to know the truth from the lie. And when we live in that truth, it'll bring us peace and freedom and harmony within our own souls and our harmony with our God. As we speak the truth in love, it helps us to find harmony with one another. So we and they, all those around us, need to hear the truth louder and longer than we've been hearing the lie. And that's not going to happen if you and I won't speak up and share that with people. And some of us are going, well, I don't know the exact same, the right things to be able to say. And I know something's wrong, but I don't know exactly where to go with from God's word to be able to share that with them. Well, let me encourage you. First of all, get in the word. You know, I have found so many times, especially when we first started our ministry, the Lord would nudge me to open the Bible. And before I met with somebody, before I'd started a discipleship, before I had a Bible study, and just before I had a meeting, and open it just even for 5 minutes. And say, Lord, if there's anything in here that you want me to know in preparing for that meeting to be able to share with somebody, would you let me know? And more times than not, there was a scripture that jumped off the page at me. And I just write it down. I take it with me. Or I put a bookmark in my Bible and I took it with me. And almost every single time, there was an opportunity for me to share that verse. Now, mind you, I'm just starting in ministry. There was a lot of things that I needed to be able to grow and know. And yet, all of a sudden, after probably 8 months to a year of this, I had all the different people I was meeting with go, like, are you the Bible answer man? Do you have all the scriptures memorized? Because constantly I was sharing with them the truth of God's word. And I just laughed and I said, no. I said, I just simply always pray and spend some time in the word before I meet with people. Just giving the Lord an opportunity for me to be able to share a truth with them that they need to hear. And then I use it when the time comes. And I said, you know what's really sad about that? And they go, no, what? And I said, what's sad is that you could have heard it yourself if you would have opened the word. God would have spoken to you directly. So start doing that. So my encouragement to you, whether you're doing it as a parent, mom or dad, or with your kids, or with each other, as your spouses, or your friends, or wherever it may be, as you're looking to develop harmony, know the value and the critical aspect of truth. And the greatest source of truth is the Word of God. So make sure that you're opening it and using it, because that truth helps people be exposed to the lie and understand the lie is there. The Word of God never returns void. So harmony isn't just saying, okay, I'm going to get to know you, and you're going to get to know me, and we're going to accept each other's truths, because there's no love in that. And yet, at the same token, that truth needs to be shared in love, and it needs to be filtered through an understanding of what's going on in each other's lives. Do I hear an amen on that? I hope so. So, if you don't know Jesus yet, you're missing a great source of truth. Psalm 31:5 says, David says, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have ransomed me, O Lord, out of truth." And if you haven't met Jesus yet, I encourage you. It's not a major issue to be able to do that. It's not like you have to jump through all these different hoops. It's just a quiet, heartfelt prayer that says, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I make mistakes in life. And I need you in my life to cleanse me, to change me, to transform me, to make me like you. Will you come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and make me new? Forgive me of my sins. Give me your strength and your power to be the man you want me to be the woman you want me to be, and to be used by you to bring harmony in my family and the world around me. In Jesus' name, we pray this. If you prayed that prayer, it doesn't have to be the exact words. if you just simply crawl out and say, right now, Lord Jesus, come, I need you. He'll meet you there. But then it's important to start opening the Word of God and reading, letting Him speak to you. Find a good Bible teaching church that will help you grow there. And maybe another man or woman that can help disciple you and help you grow along that way. My encouragement is to do that. We need you. You matter to this mission. God's mission to be able to change the world for the better around us. So speaking of changing the world around us, I've got a list of questions that if we would answer them first and be honest about them, let the Lord help us work through them, and then help others to work through them, it will open the door for us to be able to understand each other, to be able to talk about what is truth, where we find it, and why it's important, and to be able to find a common ground and harmony with one another in the truth of what God's Word says. So you ready for some of those questions? I hope so. But before we even get into those questions, I'm going to take a real quick moment and just simply give some direction for us through a few questions that are not related to what we're going to be asking in a minute. True or false? Just answer these questions where you are. It's easy to be divided by deception. True or false? Yeah, you're right, it's true. And divide and conquer started in the garden, didn't it? Yes, we see that. The devil deceived the woman. The woman talked the man through kind of deception into following along with her. And both of them then found division amongst themselves and division with God. Fortunately, God is loving and caring and made accommodations for that. But yeah, it's easy to be deceived by deception. So we have to be careful with that. Do we find restoration of harmony through truth and love? True or false? Yes, we do, or no, we don't. Yeah, it's true, we do. That's where we find real harmony, through truth and love. We just got through seeing that in the Word of God. Next question. To achieve harmony, do we have to work harder to understand than to be understood? True. Yeah, I think that's very true. It starts with understanding the will and the way of Jesus on each of these issues, for He is the only unwavering source of truth. So we need to ask Him, Lord, what is the truth here in this situation? And here's another statement. Knowledge is power, but if what you know isn't true, then you set yourself up for failure. The more you know, the more power that's usually brought to bear in your life. But if what you know isn't so, then you set yourself up for failure. You build your house on the wrong things, because truth isn't fluid, it's not in flux. It's absolute, and Jesus is the beginning and the source of all of that. Next comment. Will we achieve harmony with others and or collectively with Jesus if we don't work hard to understand where others are coming from? No, we won't. We won't. And one last statement before we get into the questions that will really open the door for us is, people are messy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the truth, isn't it? People are messy, including me. All of us are messy. People are messy. It's a big choice to dig in deeper or to walk away. You got to choose to dig in deeper or to walk away. When you choose to dig in deeper, there's the hope of harmony. When you choose to walk away, it always promotes division. We can't be afraid of the work to get us to harmony. And the good news about that is we don't have to do that by ourselves, because Jesus said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and He'll supply all of our needs according to His riches and glories in Christ Jesus. We see that in Philippians 4. So let's ask Jesus to give us the heart to hang in there, to work hard until we achieve the harmony that He wants us to achieve. Now, I told you early on, we said that there's the right question, nuanced in the right way, always out of love, can bring so much understanding and can open up so much harmony if we will make sure that we're letting the Spirit of God guide us and direct us in what those questions are. I want to give you a list of some of those questions that I think will be absolutely mind-bogglingly freeing for you. If we can understand these things, it'll help a lot. But it starts asking ourselves these questions and then asking others. So you ready for it? The good news about this podcast is that you can play it over and over again to be able to make sure you get all these questions down. I wish I could just hand you a sheet, but I can't. So I'll speak slowly so that you've got these things down. So, okay, you ready for this? First question we need to be asking each other. What is your story? What do you believe and why do you believe it? You know, finding out people's stories is really important because we understand then why people have all of us have certain lenses and filters that we view life through. And it causes us to view them askew so frequently because we're looking through our life experience instead of the truth of what God says. Like as an example, it's common that people will say, well, I feel this. This is the way I feel. Well, that feeling is very real. And we need to understand that. Feelings are always real, but they're not always true. So if I can understand why you feel the way you feel, it helps us get to the truth. But we'll never get to that truth if I don't understand why you feel the way that you feel. So asking what your story is, why do you believe what you believe, and why do you believe it, is a great starting point. Next question. Is what you believe based on what you've seen, what you've heard, or what you've experienced in your life, or others you know have experienced in their life? I mean, think about that. How many people around us, how many times have we seen somebody bullied, or somebody picked on, or somebody taken and group people? That's one of the hard things in life is when we group people and categorize them and speak generalizations about people because of their color, because of their background, or because of their intellect, or because of their ethnicity, or because of their, whatever it is. And it breaks God's heart. Those are the things that divide us right off the bat. But if we take a group of people that we've experienced being around and they've been really great, then we have a tendency to look at other people in that same, with having those same characteristics, same qualities as great also. But if we take a group of people that we've experienced around us that have been really doing knuckleheaded things, then we have a tendency to group other people in that same way. We can't do that. But it helps us understand ourselves and our own filters and lenses and other people's also, if we are able to get them or get us to be able to come to realize, well, this is the way I believe what I believe. It's because of something I've heard often from my parents or my friends or my teachers or whatever the source was, and everybody keeps saying the same thing. Well, just because a lie is spoken over and over again, that doesn't make it the truth. Even though Hitler said, if you do tell a lie loud and long enough, it becomes a truth. Romans 1 tells us that is not where it is. God says the truth is the truth. And his wrath is revealed against those who will speak that truth over and over again. So it's important for us to be able to know the real truth. Or is it about what you've seen? Again, I don't need to go on and belabor this. So is what you believe based on what you've heard, what you've seen, what you've experienced in your life or others you know have experienced? Or is it the emotions or feelings that you may have experienced from one of the above? Remember, feelings are always right, but they're just not always true. You really feel that way. I mean, I can't argue that. You feel that way. That's right. But it's not always true. Or is it facts? What are the facts? And what is your source of those facts? Is your source reliable? Is it true? Like as an example, the Word of God. Or are you finding what people call facts something else? I mean, recently I've heard so many people talk about, well, it's science. Like science is always true. Well, science oftentimes is true. And most of the time it would be true. But only if we find science as it relates to what makes science true. And that is a certain formula. Is it replicatable? Can you recreate this experience or this thing through an experiment? And if you can't, then it's a theory. It's no longer a scientific fact. And so if I can't recreate that in a laboratory under certain circumstances, then by science's own definition, it isn't a scientific fact. It may be a theory, but a theory is not something that we want to build our lives on. It's just something we speculate on. Or maybe is what you believe based on reasoned positions. This may be arrived at by one or more of the above. What was the process of coming to your understanding, your opinion, your viewpoint? And next question is, there another side to an opinion that you hold that you haven't considered? Have you ever talked with someone with knowledge of a different view? Are you open to that? Proverbs 18:17 says, he who pleads his cause first seems right until another comes along and questions him. Isn't that the case? Usually the first thing that we hear are the things that we believe the most because we've heard it first. But is that really the truth? And incidentally, it's another good reason we as parents need to be sharing the truth of God's word with our kids early as possible and making sure that it's fully grounded there. Next question. Knowing that God's word is the ultimate source of truth, have you checked out what the Bible says? Psalm 119:160 says, thy word, O God, is truth. So are we checking out what our pastors or mature Christians that know the word of God have to say, or what, better yet, opening the word of God and reading it yourself? Jesus is the final arbiter of truth. Give him that opportunity. And then finally, have you made a legitimate effort to check out all the facts, especially before you settle on a position and or repeat it to others? You are a person of influence. Are you leading others to truth and love, or to division through half-truth, unresearched and unreasoned opinion? Hosea 4:14 says, so the people without understanding are ruined. You get that? Let me run through these real quick like again. What's your story? What do you believe? Why do you believe it? Is what you believe based on what you've heard, what you've seen, what you've experienced in your life, or others you know have experienced? The emotions or feelings that you may have experienced from one of the above, is that what you're basing your understanding of truth on? Is it based on facts? What are they? And what's your source of those facts? Are they really true? Is what you believe based on reasoned positions that you've wrestled through? But what's the process coming to understanding your opinion or viewpoint? Is there another side to an opinion that you haven't considered? Have you ever talked with someone with knowledge with a different view? Are you open to that? Is knowing that God's word is the ultimate source of truth, if you know that, have you checked out what the Bible says? I mean, earnestly, really checked out what the word of God says. And have you made a legitimate effort to check out all the facts, especially before you settle on a position or repeat it to others? Since you're a person of influence, you're either leading people to the truth and love or to division. You're leading them to harmony or to dissonance. God wants us to be the ones that will lead each other to harmony, lead each other to the truth. So good way to start, asking the right questions. It starts with us and to those around you. I think you'll find those discussions being absolutely mind-bogglingly fascinating, especially if you pray and ask Jesus to give you a heart that really cares, and you're able to start sharing that with each other and with the friends around you. What a radical change we would find in our world as we experience harmony together instead of dissonance, as we speak the truth in love. This starts with us. If Jesus and his word aren't at the foundation of our beliefs, we're on shaky ground. So let's make sure that we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so he can add all the rest unto us, Matthew 6:33. Do I hear an amen and amen? I hope so. God bless you all, and thanks again for being a part of what we're doing. So if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcasts, so you don't miss another episode of Monty Sharp and the Gatekeepers Initiative. Don't forget, each of us has our gates of influence in our lives that can radically change the world around us. Thanks again for joining us today. I'm looking forward to being with you again next time. May the Lord richly and wonderfully bless you.